This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
As we turn the page on the World Cup, it was a lot of fun. It's not over yet. Plenty of betting opportunities still to come, Will Hill, but the United States run ends in Seattle in the round of 16. Belgium wins 4-1. Some juicy prices were out there on Monday with the Balogun news coming out that he would play for the United States. And this was no fluke. I don't think many 4-1 games are flukes. And lo and behold, Belgium is the winner. They win in regulation. They win to advance. The over hits. BTTS, both teams to score and the over did come home. But Belgium gets home 4-1. They move on to take on Spain Friday, Will Hill. And the United States run ends in the round of 16. So that's it for the host nations, all getting bounced in the round of 16. Canada first, followed by Mexico, and then the United States to Belgium 4-1. So it is time to turn the page and maybe start looking at football with two O's as opposed to football with a U.
Yeah, and like we were mentioning, it's not that this was some horrific underachievement by the U.S. team. I think a month ago you said, hey, you made the round of 16. You had the showing you had. All things considered, that's pretty good. But the way it ended, I'll ask you, is it fair to say this loss was an embarrassment? Because some of those goals were pretty soft. I mean, that's to have this at this stage of the tournament on this, you know, this round, the World Cup, to have soft goals after soft goal like that. I don't know. Is that fair to say this performance tonight was an embarrassment, even though overall you probably reached expectation, if nothing else?
Yeah, it felt like the team that wanted to win, deserved to win, did win. And Belgium came out, had an opportunity very early on in the game. First minute, great save, then a goal less than 10 minutes in. The third goal, the essentially backbreaker, was, to your point, embarrassing. That goal is going to be relived for a while. Performance tonight, embarrassing. I think it's okay to say that. Overall, not opposed to how the United States showed in the World Cup, but it does end in the round of 16, and sportsbooks across the country can rejoice to the victory on Monday night as Belgium gets the win over the United States. On Tuesday, Will Hill, we will have two World Cup matches that will wrap up the round of 16. Two pretty heavy favorites. Argentina, Lionel Messi, he and the defending World Cup champs will take on Mo Salah and Egypt. Right now on the three-way money line for this one, Argentina minus 270, Egypt plus 850, the draw plus 370, total 2.5 juiced under at minus 125. Argentina, a massive favorite to advance, and Messi to score an anytime goal is at minus 170. The other match, Colombia and Switzerland, a little bit closer from a spread standpoint. On the three-way money line, Colombia plus 125, draw plus 210, and Switzerland at plus 245. So if you're looking at the graphic, has ticked up just a little bit. So a little Colombia money coming in, and the over-under sitting at 2.5, heavily juiced to the under at minus 160. Will, we talked about it throughout VSiN Primetime. We will be back on the air on Tuesday night. These games will be concluded. Anything initially you're looking to bet in the World Cup matches on Tuesday?
I think I might need a little breather here from the World Cup. Did not go well with the U.S. draw bet. And really, a lot of my handicapping has been just to take the inflated prices on the draw. You're getting some really good plus prices. And if you just bet nothing but draws all tournament, you're not handicapping, you're not doing sides or props, I'm just betting the draw blindly every match, you are up a good amount. I know for a while it was 24, 25 units, depending on when and where you bet it. But that has come crashing down here in the last couple of days. Again, all this stuff, as we know, Tim, is small sample size, but I believe we are now at 7 or 8 matches in a row without a draw. Argentina, Cape Verde Friday night, which was a tremendous match. I was on the air with Mark Malouse. It's just almost like an NCAA tournament game. Exciting. There was an underdog aspect. It was back and forth. That was a great game. I believe we've had a result in every game since. So it's at least we're up to six, I think, in a row, could be seven. So the draw gravy train cash cow has dried up a little bit. So I always lean, Tim, towards the under in these games, just because despite what we saw in the U.S. game, anytime you have a clock in an elimination game, I tend to look towards under because teams are a little more tight, conservative, just max intensity defensively. You don't usually see the soft goals we saw in that U.S. game. So I'd always lean towards unders. If I had to bet something, draw at that price, they're probably going to be a correction. You probably get a few more draws here in the next couple of days at some point, but would lean towards the unders, but neither of those am I cutting in line to bet after going down with the U.S. here.
Yeah, I think Argentina takes care of business, but obviously the books think that as well, as they're sitting there at minus 270, and I'm not going to be racing to lay any goals, as we saw in the round of 32. Some of these juggernauts or best teams not necessarily blowing teams out. So we'll see how it all plays out. Unfortunately, the United States run ends in the round of 16. But let's look ahead to a Tuesday of baseball. And anytime, Will Hill, we can get the Miz Kid on the hill, we will take it. Jacob Mizorowski will take on the St. Louis Cardinals in the first game of a doubleheader against the St. Louis Cardinals, Brewers and Cardinals. And Jacob Mizorowski, he is a minus 190 favorite. At this point, Will, what are you doing with Mizorowski games? Because you talk about sometimes these inflated numbers from the World Cup. Everything with the Miz is seemingly inflated these days.
It is, but in baseball, it's different because it's mostly it's the money line, unless you're going to take or lay the run and a half. In football, if the Chiefs are playing the Giants and you think the line should be 7 and it's 10, you take the inflated price, you take the plus 10, and it can land 8, 9, 10, and those extra points come in handy. With baseball, it's you could have an inflated price, but it doesn't mean it's going to get home that time or the next time. It's more a case of the long haul. So I probably, if anything, would look towards props. Anytime you have somebody as public and as dominant as Mizorowski has been, to your point, Tim, they're daring you to bet against them. So they're going to juice the strikeouts over. Do you really want to sit there and bet the under? Do you have the guts to pull the trigger and sit through an under ticket on Mizorowski strikeouts as he's throwing 112 miles an hour? The under hits is usually around that 3.5 point. That's properly priced. So I haven't necessarily been looking to bet on or against them, I guess would be the short way of putting it. Do you get involved in the dogs when he's pitching? Because I know your style is not to lay $2 here in these baseball games.
It's right? Definitely not. I mean, you think about his performances. I mean, three starts ago against Atlanta, I thought he pitched pretty well, gives up a couple of runs in the sixth, and the offense lets him down. He is coming off, and I want to throw this back to you, volley it back to you. He's coming off of his worst start of the season. And granted, only one of the five runs he allowed was earned. But he gave up two homers. He still struck out 10 and walked none. But when you think about elite pitchers and they come off of a poor performance, do you find yourself jumping in on their side a little bit more so than not?
Not necessarily. It's not like football or basketball where you get a good team off a poor performance and all right, they're going to be focused, they're going to be buttoned up. It's not a bad approach. It's not an approach I disagree with. It's just like, look at Skeens. You would have that approach with Skeens, who is pitching on Tuesday. All right, he's going to bounce back. Well, the other side of it, it's not necessarily motivation related. Maybe he's just not right mechanically. Maybe his arm's bothering him, which you look at Skeens velocity wise and go back to the point I was making a little while ago about these guys that throw 100, 102. Skeens is starting to dip. You wonder, you hope, and just as a baseball fan, bets aside, you hope you don't get some sort of Skeens has elbow inflammation or, all of those little trigger buzzwords that spell bad news for pitchers. So to answer your question, no, if they come off a bad performance, it's not necessarily, all right, now I have to back them. I'm curious because I've heard both. I've heard some people say that Mizorowski, and I can check in a minute, that Mizorowski gave up the five earned runs and they changed it back to a hit. I don't know if you saw the play, Tim. It was a bunt. It was a very tough play. And I think they're very lenient with defensive players and not giving errors, and they opt more towards hits. If you saw that play, that was a very tough error. That was almost like home cooking for Miz, where they wanted to give him a break and they didn't want those five earned runs going on his record.
Yeah, no, it's certainly a fair look at it. His ERA remains at 1.47. You mentioned Paul Skeens is pitching on Tuesday. The Pittsburgh Pirates have lost 9 straight games when Paul Skeens starts. The ERA up to a staggering, for him, 3.62. I'll be honest, I know he's one of the faces of the game right now. It's a bit surprised to see he was an all-star, but that's a discussion for another day. Yeah. What do we get from Paul Skeens? And once again, it does feel like you're getting an inflated price. Paul Skeens against the Braves is over a minus 180 favorite.
Yeah, I think the Braves are a live dog. I would probably look towards either taking the Braves on the money line plus the 1.5, or these bets I like to do a lot, Tim. Take that half a run in the first five. When you think you have a live dog, there's so many ways to win where you just go to that. You get through five innings, you go to that sixth inning, and it's 2-2. You know what? You win on a tie. And when you have a live dog, I love winning on a tie. I don't know that Skeens is right now. Dustin and I were doing the show last week, and he was getting lit up. He did not get help from his catcher, Henry Davis, who didn't challenge a third strike that would have changed the inning. Bad defense, but his velocity is not what we're used to, and they're hitting him hard. So I'll be looking to fade Skeens here and probably take the Braves plus a half a run in the first five.
Folks, the fireworks may have faded, but we're still celebrating here at VSiN, but only through Tuesday, July 7th. For $299, you can get 2 full years of VSiN Pro Access. That's nearly 70% off the regular monthly price. You'll get everything we have to offer as a VSiN Pro subscriber. All of our betting guides, our NFL betting guide, is already out right now. 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app. Don't miss out. It ends on Tuesday. VSiN.com/subscribe. Lock in 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $299. Check it out. VSIN.com/subscribe.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The United States run for a fifth straight World Cup ends prior to the quarterfinal round. Of course, they didn't get to the World Cup a couple years ago in Russia. That led to the "What are we doing?" rant from Taylor Twellman. 4-1 loss tonight to Belgium, and that'll do it for the United States. So left, we have 10 teams remaining in the World Cup, 2 games tomorrow in that round. Will, let's head our attention over to Atlanta, where Juan Soto, with 2 outs in the top of the 9th inning, hit a towering blast down the right field line. So the New York Mets now have a 2-run lead. The Braves do have a man on third and no outs in the bottom of the 9th inning, but the New York Mets were down to their last out, and Juan Soto decided to change things up. But guess what? It wouldn't be the Mets if they didn't blow this lead, and we're going to get a 2-run homer here to this game up. Boom!
Oh, my goodness. The other way.
Devin Williams.
Devin Williams strikes again. I was just about to joke. The Mets, the World Series is back on. Get your playoff tickets ready. Dave Ross, I'm sure, ears perking up, firing those futures. And before I can even get out the joke, a 2-run home run. Wow. So the soccer game did not live up to the hype, but we got some interesting baseball games as the Nats Astros was a slugfest, and now just a dramatic game here between the Mets and the Braves. The Mets are done. Mets are going to be sellers. They should really just pack it in and kind of regroup. But the Braves, this game is relevant, obviously, for them as they try to win the NL East. And NL East, they had a commanding lead on for the earlier part of the season, but they have struggled. The Phillies have been hard charging and playing well. And as we know, Tim, it's a very long baseball season. There are ebbs and there are flows, but a dramatic home run. And boy, the Mets, it's just
what a disaster.
This is where
greet
go ahead.
The Mets. Yeah. Come right down and meet the Mets. Devin Williams. We talked about Devin Williams earlier in the show. We talked about his career ending thanks to the Mets. And now Williams in to close it out. Matt Williams, Oppo, after Juan Soto hit a absolute towering blast just like that. I mean, heck, they still got no outs, Will Hill, and the Braves minus 232 favorites as Matt Olson ties it up. It rips out. I mean, if you want to talk about there's nothing worse than hope, ladies and gentlemen, the New York Mets.
Yeah, and they waste the Soto home run. And it's funny, we were talking about the Brewers earlier and just what a feel-good story they are. And you brought up the Kyle Harrison trade and the other trade with Peralta. At some point, these teams got to realize, you know what? When the Brewers call, maybe don't answer, because
this used to be said
about Jerry West. When Jerry West calls and wants one of your players, you know what? Hang up. Say thanks for calling. I'll talk to you later. And don't return the call, because Jerry West is usually going to get the better of you. And I'm not putting the Brewers on that level, but the Brewers, especially when it's their players, they seem to know their players. They're very smart. Now, look, it hasn't translated in the postseason, and they got to that series last year against the Dodgers, Tim, and it was almost like the mid-major in college basketball against Duke. They were just completely outmanned, outpowered, outmuscled. But the Brewers are a smart organization. These teams that continue to do business with them in terms of trades usually end up on the wrong side of it, and on the wrong side by a pretty decided margin.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of the Brewers, top of the ninth inning in St. Louis, game one of a five-game series. We just discussed the Jacob Mizorowski start tomorrow. The Brewers scored four runs in the top of the seventh inning to take a 4-3 lead. They were down 3-0, scored four in the top of the seventh, and they lead 4-3 over the Cardinals. The Brewers trying to improve to 56-33 right now. As Dustin May pitched well, the bullpen lets him down, and the Brewers' bullpen so far strong is coming in out of the pen was Chad Patrick. So 4-3 is the score right now. Two outs, top of the fourth inning. Jackson Churio at the plate there. A couple other games going on as we speak, Will. Arizona off to a 2-0 lead on Walker Buehler and the Padres as a couple of runs scored in the second inning. Right now, it is the first inning, top of the first. You have the over 10 in Dodgers-Rockies, and Eric Lauer on the hill, man on first with two outs in the top of the first inning. And maybe, just maybe, nope, I don't think we're going to get a run here in the top of the first inning. So we'll see if the Dodgers lineup can get us a run here. San Francisco, a 1-0 lead over the Toronto Blue Jays. Will, we are waiting right now and wondering, as the offseason for the NBA continues, the LeBron watch. This isn't the decision back in, what was that, 2011, the offseason of 2010? Yeah,
2010. The summer of 2010, yeah. And then again in 14, and then again much shorter in 18 when he signed with the Lakers pretty quickly.
And even the one in 14 was just kind of the article on SI, and it came out, I'm coming back home. So, I don't know. This one hasn't really bugged me. I mean, it's not, you know, kind of as in your face as it is. I asked this to JVT on Saturday morning. Forget where we think he'll go. We both, I think, believe he'll goes to Cleveland. Whatever. I mean, I get it, but I don't want to see him playing with James Harden. Where would you like to see him go? Where would his skill set at, 42 years old, where would it fit the best in the NBA, in your opinion?
I heard Bill Simmons and Zach Lowe discussing this, and they burned me because I had a nice ticket on them in terms of a future. The Spurs at 45-1, I had to win the title, so I'm mad at the Spurs. I will be mad at the Spurs for a long time for blowing that series the way they did. But that's the best fit. I mean, that's a chance. You get to win a championship. And people say, oh, he's chasing rings. He's 41, 42. He's going to be chasing rings wherever he's going to go. He's not the best player or second best player on a title team anymore. That team lost because they didn't have experience. They would basically, I mean, not let's call it what it is. They choked. They choked. They got bad shots, horrible shot selection, and they choked in the stretches of those games in the fourth quarter. They couldn't play with the lead. You need a guy like LeBron, or you could use a guy like LeBron to just calm things down, put his head down, get to the basket, make one of two free throws, and just stop the bleeding. I think the Spurs would be perfect. Doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
I echo those sentiments. San Antonio's never really been part of the discussion, maybe because LeBron doesn't want to be thought of as a guy going and, you know, picking his way. I mean, that's the funny thing, and, you know, we could talk about LeBron until you blew in the face, and that's not really what we do at VSiN, thankfully. But you think about the teams that he went to. You know, Miami ended up being the big three, but I believe they missed out on the playoffs the year before he went down there. Dwayne Wade was dealing with an injury. The Lakers, people forget, were a catastrophe when he went there. Losing seasons. You know, I kept seeing these hot takes about how his run in L.A. was looked at as disappointing. I'm like, you remember how bad the Lakers were? They were horrible when he showed up. They were a playoff team, won a championship, but regardless – I think if you go to San Antonio, a team that won the Western Conference, he realizes that's not going to look good. So, and it's the thing that came out about the Knicks as well from, you know, his from Rich Paul, which was he would have went to the Knicks if not winning the championship. It all seems like he's lining up to go back to Cleveland here. Taking a look at Poly Market, I was just curious. They've been updating, and I think he was taking a lot of money to return to Cleveland. So I'm trying to see where the odds are right now. 55% now, Cleveland. The Heat have actually emerged to 19%. So this has been a big change. Philadelphia looked like they had a bit of a run there, and now the Heat are in at 19%. So the late movement, I guess, based on the predictive markets, has been all Cleveland, but a little bit of Heat movement here as of late at 19% at Polymarket.
And I was on with Humans Tuesday when it was announced LeBron wasn't going to be back. And there was a whole, you know, it depends who you believe. Did the Lakers break up with LeBron? Was it the other way around? I'm not really sure. Who knows if him and Luka got along. But I'm not sure what happened there. If we'll ever get the truth, it depends who you talk to, who you listen to. But I said to Matt, I can promise you one thing. He's probably going to drag this out because – and look, some people are unfair about LeBron. They never have anything good whatsoever to say about him. He's not like an evil person, but he loves the attention. He loves the idea that all the shows are talking about him. And this will probably be the last time that he's going to have this. So I think he's going to milk it. And we've already seen so far that he has. I would, and there's no way to prove this or bet this. What do you think? I think if you like LeBron right now, I think he knows where he's going. I think he does. But I don't think he's sitting there in some room, you know, scratching his chin saying, where should I play next year? I think he knows where he's going. I think he's dragging out to, you know, to be a little bit dramatic, which he's been known to do, which is, again, not the worst thing in the world, but it can be annoying to some, which I understand.
Yeah. And I also don't know if it, you know, I thought JVT made a really good point because he likes the Raptors and likes the acquisition that they made to get Kawhi Leonard. And if you're looking to bet a team like the Raptors to win the Eastern Conference, don't bet them now. Wait until the possibility of LeBron James going to Cleveland. Does that saturate the market? By the way, Walker Buehler. Is Walker Buehler Team USA? Is it over for Walker Buehler? Just gave up a 3-run homer. It is now 6-0 Arizona Diamondbacks. We'll update you on what's happening across Major League Baseball as the Brewers trying to close out the St. Louis Cardinals.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
United States loses tonight to Belgium 4-1. Belgium moves on. Friday afternoon in Los Angeles, they will play Spain. Two more round of 16 matches on Tuesday in the World Cup. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray. Bottom of the ninth, Will. Two men on in Atlanta. Two outs. The Braves have already tied it up. Matt Olson, opposite field homer off of Devin Williams. The Mets have gone to the bullpen, and we will see if the Braves can walk it off here in the bottom of the ninth inning. Right now, live number -173 on the Braves. Will the Braves win it here in the bottom of the ninth, Will?
I know you're not supposed to answer a question with a question. What number would you need to bet the Mets? Because they are the road team. Atlanta's one swing away from ending the game. Now, granted, the odds are ahead of us. And when you have a high leverage spot like this, two outs, two strikes, the books probably know the next pitch or two that's coming. That being said, what number would you have to see on the Mets team? You say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get out my wallet. As the Mets do get a strikeout, Rayleigh, gets a swinging strikeout here. So we will go to the 10th. What number do you need to be tempted by the New York Metropolitans?
Well, I'll tell you what. Right now, they're the favorite. And no, I would not bet the...
Are they really?
Right now, heading to the top of the 10th, they are minus 123 at DraftKings. I don't understand that.
Maybe their spot in the order here is more favorable. Maybe their guys coming up, they're at a better spot of the lineup than Atlanta. That would be the only thing I could think of. But, man, you get Atlanta at a plus price. I'm certainly not laying $1.20 with the Mets, who just seem to find ways to lose games, blow games. Even a huge lead yesterday, they had to hang on for dear life. So certainly no value for me.
So you
me
do have
laying the price with the Mets.
Francisco Lindor, who's batting .218 and is 0-for-4 tonight, he's going to lead off the inning. And it'll be 9-1-2 for the Braves here for them in the bottom of the 10th inning. It has gone final. The Milwaukee Brewers, man, they are a team. I was thinking about it. Yesterday they came back to beat the Diamondbacks, and tonight they were down 3-0. It's easy to say this in hindsight. They are a team that just doesn't go away. And they come back and they win 4-3, four runs in the top of the 7th inning, Will. And they are able to close it out. Tyler McGill closes the game out there. Or Trevor McGill, I beg your pardon, closes the game out for the Brewers. Brewers now 56-33 as they beat the Cardinals 4-3 here tonight. Top of the 2nd inning, men on the corners, which is music to the ears of Will Hill, who has over 10 in Rockies Dodgers, no outs. So hopefully Jake McCarthy can get something going here for the Colorado Rockies, as now the bases are loaded for the Colorado Rockies and no outs. So Will gave out 10 over 10, and I, like a good friend and someone desperate to get a winner tonight, tailed him. So hopefully we can find a winner there. Will, as painful as the loss was for us sitting here and losing our bets in the United States, as we are Americans, losing in the round of 16, we didn't. At least I'm not aware of what you bet. I don't think this was you. $750,000 bet earlier today here at the Circa Sportsbook. Jeffrey Benson put this out on Twitter. A big bomb banger just came in on the USA here at Circa Sports. $750,000 on Team USA. And that is $750,000 won by the house. It did. It was interesting. Will, when I was sitting here and the game ended, I felt like the lights got brighter inside this studio. It was pretty interesting how that worked out when that $750K just goes into the pockets of the Circa Sportsbook.
Yeah, probably a pretty good night for the books. And they're going to tell you, oh, it was a good story to have the U.S. in. It keeps people interested in the tournament. I'm sure some element of that is true. But let's be honest, a bunch of liability, I'm sure, on U.S. futures. Just the 10, 20, 50, 100 bucks, people betting what they want to root for in terms of U.S., making the final, winning the final. Those end up being donations and all of the money. Like we talked about, Tim, U.S. played just well enough to have people. And you have these people in your life, I think we all do, doing what we do. The casual bettor, the guy who only bets maybe once a month, a couple times a year, U.S. is on tonight. I want to bet the U.S. I want to root for the U.S. I heard they're good. It roped people in enough where that lopsided ticket count got the best of the bettors. And I'm sure the books, an extra shrimp cocktail tonight, an extra filet mignon. So always, we mentioned the Brewers as a feel-good story. The little guy, the books, the ultimate underdog, Tim, the ultimate little guy. They emerge victorious here.
Well, if you are betting at Circa Sportsbook, for a limited time, you can fund your wagers and contest entries with crypto using BurraPay and pay no BurraPay transaction fees. It's fast, secure, and another way Circa continues to innovate for sports bettors. So visit BurraPay.com to learn more and take advantage of fee-free crypto wagering before August 31st exclusively at Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino. BurraPay transaction fees waived as part of campaign. Standard cryptocurrency network and exchange fees may apply. 6-0 right now. The Arizona Diamondbacks lead the San Diego Padres. That game in the bottom of the 3rd inning. We're in extra innings down in Atlanta. And it is 5-5. Francisco Lindor did not bring home a run as he led off that inning. And unfortunately for us, Will, there's nothing worse than a pop-out when you have the bases loaded. Productive outs, you talk about it all the time. Get me a productive out, and you got a weak pop-out to right field. No run score. Now a 1-2 count here. So hopefully the Rockies can get something here in the top of the ninth. And this should be a productive out. Deep fly to left. Runner is on his horse, and he will score. So a run is home. A productive out. It is now 1-0 Rockies in the top of the second inning. So a productive out at least there to make it a 1-0 game between the Rockies and the Dodgers. By the way, going back to the live line, you know, Will, we kind of had the same thought, like, man.
Yeah.
Mets are the favorite here? Well, right now the Braves are -315. Two outs, man on third for the Mets. And if you think the Mets can pull this off, +228, but man, that line just seemed off. Why were the Mets the favorite going into extra innings? It made no sense.
I think because they had Lindor coming up towards the top of the order. But it's one of those things, Tim, and I'm sure people listening can relate to this. If we were having a good night, if I was 2-0 and the draw hit, there's a very good chance that bet I was on the fringe with the Mets, where I just, look, we give our thoughts and opinions on these lines. I would have pulled the trigger, I think, on the Braves, and who knows, they might still lose the game. But when you're having a bad night, you feel like you don't want to force it and make it a worse night. But I'm with you. I didn't really understand the Mets and all of their struggles, why they were the favorite. Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. When you bet a baseball game and it goes extra innings, which I hate from a betting standpoint, I feel like they always go against me when I have a side that goes to extras, which is why I usually stick to the first five. Now, I can't stand the randomness of the ghost runner. Would you rather be the road team or the home team? Because I feel like, I feel like if you're that road team and you don't get a run in, there's just so much pressure. I guess you'd probably rather be the home team, right? Just because you know what you need, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I would much rather be the home team, because if this does go 5-5 to the bottom of the 10th, now you're talking about, do we bunt him over? Now we're talking about a sack fly, but things are not done yet in Atlanta, as we got a hit batter. So men on the corners now in the top of the 10th inning for the New York Mets. Taking a look at the live market there. It has come down just a little bit. Mets at +179. Unfortunately, Eric Lauer does get out of the bases loaded jam with minimal damage. Live total sitting at 9.5 right now. Juice to the under. But you never know with this Dodgers lineup how potent it can be, Will. And, things can explode here. I want to carry this over to the other side, but a final thought here on the LeBron situation is, well, I think we'll figure it out probably at some point this week, right where he is going. It seems like it's Cleveland. Is there a team in the East that intrigues you right now based off of they're being overlooked or the moves that they made? Because it does feel like OKC, San Antonio seem inevitable in the West. I do feel like you can make a strong case for a bunch of teams in the East. Is there a team right now that you have interest in?
No, Indiana is the trendy one. I've heard a lot of people mention them as a sleeper. Let's see how Halliburton comes back. I thought Charlotte, before all these moves in the East, before they traded some guys, I thought they were being slept on. They were 100-1 to win the title, 50-1 to win the East, I thought, or thereabouts. I thought that was one that, probably not going to win, but I was just surprised by that number. If I had to bet one thing out of all of this, boy, I guess the Raptors at 9-1. Here's the thing, though, Tim. When you make big-time moves and you acquire star players, the market reacts, and a lot of times the market overreacts.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And Heat and Raptors, kind of funny to think. Both them trading for perennial all-stars and are pretty far down on that list. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray. We'll take a look at the baseball slate on Tuesday, as well as the World Cup action.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is VSiN Prime Time. Certainly a tough night for the United States. Out in the round of 16, Belgium, a 4-1 win. The BTTS, both teams to score, comes home and came home rather quickly. And the over also came home rather quickly as well. Unfortunately for us, the draw did not get there. 4-1, the final. Belgium moving on to the quarterfinals of the World Cup, where they will face Spain on Friday. Right now, early look at that line. Belgium to advance, plus 245 at DraftKings. Spain to advance is minus 320. I wrote down what that number was going to be if it was the United States. And, you know, let me ask you this, Will. You and I, once again, I think we're honest for who we are outside of being gingers. We're not soccer experts. Spain, according to Johnny Avello on the three-way, was going to be around minus 110 against the United States. They're minus 160. Spain to advance was going to be minus 280, and it's minus 320. So is Belgium on sale here, or is that just the proper price and maybe the United States would have been too expensive if they had won tonight?
Well, this is why you need a VSiN subscription, VSiN.com/picks. You get all the picks from all the pros, the Bear, Chris Felica, Nigel Seeley. We have plenty of very sharp soccer handicappers that will better answer that question than I will be able to. So VSiN.com. And while you're there, Tim, check out the Pro Football Betting Guide. In all seriousness, I don't know how much of it you've read. It really is so outstanding good. As we're finishing up the show. It's not only do you learn things and, you know, from a betting standpoint, it's valuable. It's actually fun to read, where even if you weren't a better, I would enjoy reading it. So we'll get our little plugs in for VSiN. But I have no play. I have no feel. I've been betting a lot of draws this tournament, but I'm not sure. I might need a day or two of a little bit of a break here from the soccer.
Yeah, I might be with you. And, you know, I'm not. I always take full credit for the losses. I was maybe got a little too cute today playing some first half unders. I was thinking, hey, maybe this thing is it plays out like Spain-Portugal, right, a little bit, where most people thought that was going to be more high-flying. Not the case. We got way over in the first half and wasn't a draw. So I got too cute. Didn't work out well for me. Thankfully for us, tomorrow, those two games in the World Cup will be concluded by the time we come on the air. But that being said, earlier today, Anthony DeBundo, he was on with Mitch and Paul and had an angle for the Golden Boot as we wrap up the World Cup.
It's a crazy race. If I had to make one pick, it'd probably be Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Currently, I know he's a goal behind the big three, but I really do think England's going to make the World Cup final. And really, at this point, Ooh. It's all about playing the most games. So if England beats Norway, if England beats Argentina or Colombia, all of a sudden you get that extra game in there. Kane's on penalties. And look, this English attack has been really good at this tournament. They had the one bad game against Ghana, a very difficult low block. They're not going to see a Ghana-like defense again. And when teams have come out and tried to press England, when teams have come out and really played soccer against England, Croatia and Mexico the other night, you really saw England actually get forward, actually create chances. And Kane was obviously one of the main beneficiaries of that. He scored twice against Croatia, and then he scored a huge goal last night. Granted, it was a penalty, but he scored a great goal last night too. So Kane is going to be constantly getting opportunities in this tournament, and the price is much better than Mbappe or Messi. I mean, Spain's got to get through this match, but like, they don't really have an explosive goal scorer. You start looking around Argentina, of course, Messi is Messi. And that's why he's the second favorite, but I wouldn't touch the two favorites.
Mbappe and Messi, to Anthony's point, even money. Mbappe at FanDuel, Messi at plus 165. Argentina plays tomorrow. He's around minus 170. Messi is for an anytime goal. Erling Haaland is at 7-1. Norway, pretty big dogs in the round, in the quarterfinals. And then Harry Kane, 10-1. So interesting angle to look there from Anthony DeBundo earlier today on Follow the Money. All right, update from the wild and wacky Atlanta Braves New York Mets game. The Mets did add two runs, so they were able to tack on some runs when it looked like they were going to be dead and buried, as we had a two-run double. But now, with one out in the bottom of the 10th, We just had, I believe it was that Ozzie Albies, who I believe just came through? No, it was
Michael Harris.
Michael Harris. Now Ozzie Albies is coming up in a 7-6 game. So, Will, this Atlanta-New York game has been, since the ninth inning, incredibly fascinating. And the Mets, minus 362. Is Albies going to get out here on this first pitch? Is that why this number
I would think so.
It must be, because there's no way with one out, Albies at the plate. And no, he doesn't. So
you might be two pitches behind, though. You can't be minus 360. I guess you could, because you still need a base hit. There's one out. So I guess it's possible. What's the comeback on the Braves? That's my problem, Tim, with this stuff sometimes.
Like, yeah, it's not juicy enough. Plus 256.
It's so advantageous to the books in terms of the split. Plus 304 now, and the second out is recorded. So Braves plus 304. Now it went from two outs to one out. So this is the thing, Tim. The books are ahead of us, and you trust what the books are telling you on the little app. If it says one out, if it says two outs, you bet based on that, but it's not 100% accurate. I noticed that during football season where they would have the ball on the wrong side of the field where I'm watching the game, and you know, they'll say a team has it first and goal on the one. Well, they got it first down on their own one. These books, I'm surprised there's not more outrage over that. They need to be much better. If you're going to give out the information and people are going to bet based off of it, you got to get it right. So as we're watching, still one out, 0-2 count. It would be only taking the plus money right now, but I am going to sit this one out and probably regret not betting the Mets here, or the Braves, I should say.
Yeah. We looked at the Braves, wondered why were they the underdogs going into extra innings, and then we laughed about it when it was two outs, man on third, and then lo and behold, the Mets were able to score two runs in that top of the 10th inning. So two matches tomorrow in the World Cup. To circle back a little bit to it, Argentina, heavy favorites against Egypt to advance, and Switzerland, Colombia, that total is 2.5, juice to the under at minus 160. So the under, maybe a look in that one, maybe a first half under, but I did just get burned on that. Maybe I need to cut my losses in the World Cup, but we'll see. Never say never, Will Hill, before we jump back into it. But I will say this, our good friend, the Bear, Chris Felica, I've been enjoying his morning World Cup previews. It's a good primer. He recaps the day, gives you some best bets. So if you're not following the Bear, which I'm sure many of you already are, check out his Twitter feed every morning. I've been enjoying it. It's been helping me as someone who is not the world's greatest World Cup bettor to check out the Bear, give us some insight. And as you alluded to too, VSiN.com. Nigel Seeley has write-ups over at VSiN.com. as well. Looking ahead to tomorrow, Will, for the baseball slate, anything initially jumped to you? As we alluded to at the top of the last hour, we got the Miz pitching against the Cardinals. I'm staring at this line, and it feels like it's a trap. Admiral Akbar's yelling at me. Paul Skeens and the Pirates have lost 9 straight games when he started, and they're a minus 180 favorite against Atlanta tomorrow. Like, what am I missing here?
I wonder if they're building in somewhat here, Tim, that, I mean, look at the time, 11 o'clock Eastern, yeah. The Braves are still playing. They got to finish this game, and who knows when it ends. You don't get those marathon games anymore with the new rules, but still a long game. You got to shower, eat, get on a plane. It's not exactly like they're, flying coach or anything. They got pretty good accommodations, but I wonder if the travel aspect, the travel element here is shading this line. But regardless, travel or no travel, that's too high of a line. Skeens is not in good form. The velocity's down. The Braves, to me, are a pretty live dog, whether it's taking the money line, taking that half run, first five. I cannot justify laying that type of price with Paul Skeens.
Yeah, it is. It's been quite the run. We'll see if it concludes. The Yankees and Rays back at it tomorrow night. Flat 8 for the total. Rays a slight favorite. Warren will start for the Yankees. Cam Schlittler, strong performance tonight to continue his AL Cy Young candidacy. Yankees, Rays, any early thought on what to expect down at the Trop tomorrow?
Would lean under. Yankees lineup still not in good form. You figure at some point they bust out, but they are all beat up, not just their offense, but their pitching staff dealing with a lot of injuries. Would lean towards the 8, but we'll probably dive into it a little bit more before I pull the trigger on anything.
Skubal also pitching tomorrow. So some good pitchers scheduled to pitch tomorrow. DeGrom, Skubal, Miz, Skeens. So should be a good night across the baseball slate. Not a great night for the United States, losing to Belgium 4-1 as the run ends in the World Cup in the round of 16. All right, that's going to do it for our show. Thanks to Sebastian Salazar, Ryan Kramer, and Johnny Avello all joining us prior to the start of USA and Belgium. Thanks to Corey, our producer, and our entire production team. For Will Hill, I'm Tim Murray. Start your day at 7 a.m. with Super Dave and Jensen Lewis, VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.